Welcome to Above and Below, a Salt Life podcast, where we're going to be exploring above and below the surface. We'll take in a deep dive into the world of fishing, diving, and surfing. Every week, we're going to sit down with experts to learn more about them and get their freshest, hottest takes on all things salty. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Above and Below. I am your host, Kieran Anderson, and today we have Jake Eshamon with us. Jake, how are you, man?
Good. How are you doing, Kieran?
Super, super good, man. This is my first time meeting you, so it's always fun to like do these podcasts and meet new people and like just explore what you do. I don't know. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. I'm super stoked. Thanks for having me on. I'm super excited to meet you.
Absolutely. Okay. So you just joined the Salt Life family, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Nice, dude. How did that come about?
Yeah. So I have kind of been a fan of the brand just like through Instagram. And then just like sun shirts are essential in my life. So I own some of the gear and I was like, okay, I think like there's something super cool here. So I actually messaged you guys on Instagram, got in touch with Cassidy. And then it just kind of clicked. It just kind of seemed perfect. We talked about, some opportunities and everything worked out like super great.
How good is that, dude? We're stoked to have you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Part of the family, dude. It's so fun too, because Salt Life is such like a known brand for not only like surfing and like water sports, but fishing, diving, exploring, like anything in the ocean. It's the Salt Life. It's just the way it is. But man, let's get a little overview on you. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up? Where are you living now? Give me the rundown.
Cool. Yeah. So I grew up in San Diego. So basically like my childhood was just like surfing the reefs of La Jolla and in some of the beach breaks down at Black's. I surfed there twice a day all the way through high school. So just in San Diego. And then now I kind of relocated 2 years ago to Newport Beach. So my surf scene changed a little bit, you know, to now surfing some jetties and in the Huntington Beach Pier a lot. But yeah, it's cool. It's kind of California, no matter where you go, kind of has a piece of home in it. You know, you can move from NorCal to Southern California and you'll always kind of find something that you love.
Yeah, it definitely is. California is like a very unique place in that regards for sure. Like going up the coast or going down south all the way to like IB, like you can always like, I feel like wherever you go to, you always run into somebody in the water. You're like, oh, no way. What's up, dude? Like you get so psyched.
Yeah, that's the craziest part is like, I've been living up here 2 years and like, I still see guys from down south, like come up here all the time when the jetties are good. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is so sick. Like, I don't even have to go down south to surf with them anymore.
Yeah. It's pretty insane. I feel like the surf community in California is so big, but it's also so small. Like, I don't know. It's weird, right? Like,
yeah,
you probably used to paddle out. You probably used to paddle out at Black's and like know everyone and just like froth out and stuff. That's how it was for me in Carlsbad. Just like every time I surf somewhere, I'm like, this is the best day ever. I feel like I'm in high school again.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was. That's kind of why I loved living down there so much was it took a long time, especially at a place like Black's with kind of the local scene is to get your name in. Like I had to turn on a couple giant closeouts before like some of the guys started noticing me. So that was cool. And then up in Huntington, like it's a little bit different, right? Like I kind of grew up in like that local La Jolla scene. And now in Huntington, it's like 100 groms and cameras all over the beach. So it's a little bit different, but it's still cool.
Yeah. Did you have a key to Black's? Did you used to drive down or did you have to walk down every time?
Yeah. So we had one before they changed it to like a digital. They changed it. And so we had one for a while. And then otherwise, I just did like the glider port walk, which isn't bad. I kind of liked it. It kind of kept some of the crowd away.
And you got a workout in.
Yeah, exactly.
So how are the waves right now in California? How have they been? You guys got some swell.
Yeah. So the sandbars in Huntington right now are really good. Unfortunately, in Newport, it has been flat like the last couple months. I got like one day at the jetties, which was pretty sick about a month ago. But the sandbars in Huntington are really good. We're just dealing with a little bit of the early morning tide and then the wind kicking up in the afternoon. So you kind of have to be right on that window. But no, it's been fun. We have like chest high swell and good shape. And so you can't really complain.
So as a Grom, as a youngster, were you doing events and stuff? And have you been doing any events recently?
Yeah, so the events kind of came later in my life. I genuinely like just as a kid, like I'd take out a boogie board and just like go in the shore break and play around. And I wasn't really too serious. I played a lot of sports growing up, like lacrosse, soccer, baseball, football, all the way through high school. And so my focus was kind of all over the place, but I always found time to go surfing. And it wasn't until my junior year of high school that I joined surf team. And then I started doing events and took a huge learning curve there because, some of these guys have been doing events since they were 6 years old. And for me, I'm like, wait, I have 15 minutes and, there's six other guys in the water and it's 1 foot. So it was a huge learning curve. So that's kind of how I got into events. And then I just slowly, like, once you make your first heat, then you're like hooked. You're like, oh, I made it out of a heat. Okay, now two heats, then semifinals, and then you get into a final, and then you get your first, like, third place trophy. And so I kind of just got hooked. And then, yeah, I've just been competing. And recently, like, I'm trying to, like, load up my schedule with competitions. And I think this month I got three. So just a couple of the local ones and just getting as much time in a heat as possible, because that's the only way to kind of get better at competitive surfing is spend time in a jersey.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's so much that is involved with like heat strategies and like obviously your wave selection and stuff. There's so much involved with competitions instead of free surfing. Like free surfing is so sick because you just paddle out and you're like, cool, yeah, like I want to go on this. I kind of don't want to go on this thing, like whatever. But when you're in an event, you have to get that score. So it's a mind game.
Yeah, I mean, when you're free surfing, like you can kind of turn on some of those closeouts. And that's what I had to learn, especially with the qualifying series, is having priority. Like now that really starts to, and like it's a whole game of like, when am I going to use it? How long am I going to wait? Am I going to go in front of this guy so he can't get the score? So learning all of that is huge. And the only way to do it is to like surf those events. So yeah.
So how do you get into surfing? Is your family like a bunch of surfers, or did you just kind of just get into it?
Yeah, it wasn't really a family thing other than like my mom just wanting us to be at the beach like every weekend. Like she just loved going down to the beach, especially like where we grew up. Like you drive 10 minutes and you're at the beach. So and then it was just like getting on boogie boards, then standing up on a boogie board, and then it's like, oh, maybe I want a surfboard. So just kind of that. And then I have a twin brother, so he kind of got really into it, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I kind of want to get into it. And then we just like pushed each other. I had somebody to go surf with every day, which was cool.
What about the search for new waves and stuff? I feel like it's such a huge thing. That's like my biggest passion for sure, is like hunting waves up and down the West Coast, like going up to like all the way past Washington, or up into Washington and Oregon and like down south and Baja and stuff. But like where's your mindset for like searching for new waves and getting new spots?
Yeah, so my biggest thing is I like to surf alone. Like, I know it's kind of hard in California, but I would way rather surf like a 2 foot beachy than like 6 foot with like 100 guys around me, like lowers or something. So I've spent kind of the best place I've kind of found a wave was on St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. Was the surf scene there is so tight and so small that almost every time I've surfed, the most I've ever seen was two other guys out. And so yeah, when it's good there, it's like you're too tired to like even go on every wave that comes through, whereas like at home, like any little scrap that comes through unridden, like I'm turning on. So yeah, it's cool. And then like the finding new waves was like we were on the boat one day and we were kind of cruising around St. Thomas in a place I had like never thought to see a wave. And I saw the back of like this like 4 foot wave and I was like, no way, like pull in. And then we like got close and there were like legit waves coming through and I was like, nobody around. I was like, okay, I gotta go check it out. So I had a board on the boat because I had just surfed around the corner earlier in the day. I like jumped off, paddled in, was kind of like checking out the reef a little bit. Like, is it like too shallow? Like, what's it like? dude, and I ended up scoring for like 2 hours, like all by myself, where like, you know, there's no like social media of like there being waves there. The surf line doesn't show waves there. So it's just kind of like super cool and like just a cool experience to like score all by myself.
Yeah, that's the best, dude. I feel like that if you could have like one buddy with you, I feel like that's even more fun just because I'm so like talkative and ADHD that I need to be with somebody at all times. But dude, the best trips I've ever had are with just like one person, like Jordan Collins, for instance. Like he's like my little surf buddy and we've went on some trips together where it's just been us two and scored like perfect 15, 20 foot tubes all day long, brought the jet ski, brought a filmer, no one around. And it's just the best thing in the world.
Yeah, that's the best.
When's the last time you were in the Virgin Islands?
I think it's probably been a couple months now. I spent a lot of time there in 2023. It felt like I was going like every month. I have a family friend that lives there. So when I go, it's, you know, they have a house there. So I have a place to stay. They have a boat. So it's pretty, like, I have my accommodation set up, so I'm able to kind of spend a lot of time there. I mean, it's just so cool. Like, it's one of those places that I can go and I can spend a month there and still, like, want to go explore and still have stuff. And, you know, you can go to the British Virgin Islands and still go do all of that. They actually have a pretty cool surf scene in the British Virgin Islands. It just doesn't get swell that often. But when it does, it gets super good. So, yeah, I'm just kind of... I just kind of love exploring around there. But yeah, it's been a couple months. I think I'm going in April. I have a flight booked.
Dang. So you've been there a bunch. That's sick, dude. That place sounds like somewhere I need to go explore for sure. I'm just joking. But what made you want to go explore the Virgin Islands? Just having family, friends there? Or did you like hear about sick little waves? Or how did that come about?
No, I knew nothing about it until... it's my girlfriend's dad that lives there. And so once he moved there, you know, we went on just like a vacation, kind of like anybody else would, like no boards, no kind of plan of getting any surf. And then, yeah, I saw a wave and I was like, okay, like next time I come back, like I'm bringing a board, like we got to figure this out. I brought a board, like got some super sick waves. And then I ended up just like leaving my board there. I was like, I'm just gonna leave it. Yeah, because like Surfline doesn't really like forecast there. Like, I don't know, like it's kind of hard to like predict. So I'm like, if I just like leave a board here, then like I'll be able to score anytime I'm here. Like and not miss anything. So yeah, that was kind of it. But yeah, I didn't even know of any surf scene. I'd almost never heard of like St. Thomas and St. John, which is like 2 miles away. And have you been down there? Like that whole chain of islands is just surreal.
I've never surfed down there, but I have been to like St. Thomas, St. John. Yeah, I have been to those spots. What for like all the spots down there, I guess my biggest question for you is like, how accessible is it to be able to just go drive around to those spots? Or do you really need a boat? Like how are you finding all these unfamiliar spots?
Yeah, I mean, for me, fortunate, like I've been fortunate because like we have had a boat to go find these spots. One of the spots that's a main spot that I can kind of say is like Whole Bay. Like, I feel like that's the one that has the most research on it. It's the most accessible. But even that, like where you're parking is, dude, it's like a half a mile paddle, if not more. Like it's way out to sea, like over this reef. And you kind of have to like paddle like through this bay, like with boats on mooring balls, like all around you. But I mean, that wave is super sick. It's kind of like a left that runs off like into like a deeper channel, but the right like will hit a reef and like run. Like I've had waves that are like lowers out there. And then right, like you kind of like hop to like this other little reef that sends like a left towards that. So yeah, it's super cool, but you really need a boat, especially on that wave I was talking about earlier that we kind of found all alone. It's all bush back there. So you'll kind of have to like park up in the neighborhood and to get there. You know, Google Maps isn't the best around there. So you'll really have to know like where you're going to find it. And yeah, I've just gotten lucky by like seeing the backs of waves or I know St. John has a couple surf spots that are like on Surfline, you know, you just kind of look at the map and say, okay. But yeah, you kind of have to know the swell direction and know where to go.
What's like the biggest difference between obviously like water temperature and stuff, but California has a lot of beach breaks for sure. And they definitely have reef breaks like down in La Jolla. But what are like the biggest differences environmentally between California and the Virgin Islands, would you say, for like surfing?
Yeah, I think it's how clear the clear and clean the water is. Like, I mean, you can go to Hawaii. I love Hawaii. Hawaii's beautiful. I was just in Tahiti in November of last year. And that's beautiful as well. But something about the white sand with those like bright, vibrant reefs that are protected and kind of have been like preserved. Like when you look down and like you're seeing fish below you and big sea fans, it's just so cool. And then you kind of just feel like a little bit more connected. And then, yeah, the water temperature is great. Like, I mean, you sweat there. It gets super warm. So you definitely kind of have to be careful about like how much you're surfing. Like if you're in the water a couple hours, like you're definitely, you know, getting a little dehydration or something. So you got to stay hydrated. But yeah, it's so cool because, you know, you go to a place at home like Huntington or La Jolla or something, and when it's good, everybody knows that it's good. Whereas there, it's like, you know, you can find like one of these little reefs that the swell kind of like gets into, and like there's nobody else out or there's one other guy out, and the people that are out, like the surf scene isn't like 100 groms ripping with like stickers on their boards. It's kind of just like a couple guys that just like love to be in the water. So it's definitely like if you meet the right people, it's super welcoming there. But I've also kind of had a couple like scary experiences of like guys trying to like call me out of the water, and I'm like, oh no, I'm just here like to do my thing. And they're like, no, nobody like surfs here. So, there's kind of a mix of vibes there. But I mean, it's still super welcoming, and everyone there, is super nice, and they're just there to, you know, kind of keep what's theirs healthy and not that, you know, they don't want it to turn into like a Huntington Beach or a Lowers or something like that.
With that being said, like when you're getting vibed out of a spot, are those mostly like the little hidden gem spots that you found and you kind of just show up and then these guys are like, well, no, this is our spot?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't look good like when you jump off the back of like a huge boat, you know, like somebody's like, whose boat is this? Who's bringing you here? Like, so I've gotten, you know, it's kind of like, especially growing up in La Jolla, I kind of like learned how to handle some of those situations of like, oh, hey man, like I'm cool. Like you live here, you're the local, you pick any wave you want. I'm like, it's me and you here. And there's 100 waves coming in like within an hour. Like you can have any wave you want. Like I'm just going to kind of sit over here and like do my thing. So it's just kind of knowing like how to handle those situations and not fight fire with fire. Because I respect what they're doing, right? Like if I was somebody trying to preserve a certain little spot or a local little spot that's not known, I don't want somebody jumping off with a drone and a camera guy and all these other things and a GoPro in their mouth and, you know, and then a bunch of tourists maybe that are trying to surf and it just starts to get crowded. So yeah, I definitely have a lot of respect for them. And it's just kind of knowing like how to handle the situation and then being respectful to them. Like, listen, if they're there, I've had a guy tell me like, hey man, I'm surfing for the next 15 minutes, then I'm leaving, then you can come surf. But in these 15 minutes, just like, let me have my space. So it's just understanding kind of all of that.
How diverse are the waves there? Like, do you get to find like slabs or are there any like cobblestone breaks and stuff? Like, where are you mostly looking for waves? Off of reef or like there are different diverse spots that you can surf?
Yeah, so it's pretty much all reef. And then a couple, like there's one beach break. I haven't seen it good, but I've seen it like when it was like 2 foot and it was just like a little beach break. And kind of like a little left that kind of came off of some rocks, but it was all sand. But yeah, it's all reefs and I'm still like figuring out a lot of it. Like I kind of know like the two or three spots, that I've seen break that I've surfed. But there's so many other like spots that light up a couple times a year or on a certain hurricane swell, right? Like you can take the boat 45 minutes or, you know, take a flight, over to Puerto Rico. It's probably a little bit longer on the boat, but you know, like you can go over to Puerto Rico and score waves across that whole island and kind of know where to surf. Whereas there, it's like you kind of just put a board in the boat and you go, okay, it looks like there's some swell in the water. Like we're gonna drive around, have a good day, go snorkel and go dive and stuff. And then like if we see a wave, you know, maybe you go check your two or three spots, but like, you know, then you'll just kind of come across the wave and you're like, okay, like this is sick.
This is the best feeling in the world. You're just kind of cruising, then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, that looks really good.
Yeah, there's a couple like when it gets some waves, like even on a boat, like around some of the corners, like the north end, especially of like St. Thomas and St. John, like when it gets some of that swell, like you're kind of rocking in that boat quite a bit. And that's kind of when you know, like when you're coming around that corner and you start like hitting some waves in the boat, you're like, okay, like there's going to be some reefs that have some waves.
What about weather and all the conditions? Like, how much does that factor in over there? I feel like mostly like reef breaks, you can kind of surf them any time of the year when it's onshore or offshore. But like there, how unpredictable is the weather? Does it change on a dime or is it pretty consistent?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like you'll leave out on the boat in the morning and it'll be like dead flat and glassy. And then by afternoon, you know, you have 22 mile an hour winds and just like predicting stuff like that. Like, you know, like with our phones nowadays, like everything's on the phone, like the swell, the weather, the wind. And even like you're looking, and I know it's hard to predict, but like sometimes it's so far off that like you're really just like having to just kind of go with the flow, right? Like the wind will kick up out of nowhere. Sometimes it doesn't affect the waves as much as you think. You know, when there's enough swell in the water, it's still super fun. But yeah, I mean, it'll kick up to like 22 miles an hour and then die back down, and it just fluctuates so much that you're kind of just having to get lucky a little bit. And you kind of want, you know, a little bit more weather because that's kind of what's bringing the waves is those kind of weather patterns. So it's just knowing the right time. It usually glasses off, you know, in the late afternoon or early morning.
I feel like you're an adventure seeker and like an exploration kind of guy. I like it. But you were talking about diving and stuff earlier and snorkeling. How amazing is the diving there?
It is like it's kind of something that, you know, if anybody has any interest in diving down and seeing like reefs and wildlife and fish and stuff like that, like it is a for sure place to go. Like, it's just so vibrant, and especially some of the places over on St. John, in my opinion, I know they're right next to each other, but St. John just seems, you know, they have more national parks there that seem a little bit more healthy and vibrant. So some of those St. John reefs are just like they just blow your mind. Like you don't know where to look. You're looking all over, like, oh, look at that, look at that, look at that. Especially like with all of the new fish. Like you go dive out here in California, it's like, oh, there's a calico bass and oh, a bunch of seaweed. Like there's still some cool stuff to see here, but it's definitely not like they're yeah, all the colors is just amazing.
What kind of challenges are you faced with trying to like find waves over there versus like California, and how rewarding is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Every time I go there, unless I'm kind of looking like far, like sometimes I'll do like little last minute trips. I'm like, okay, like it says it's going to be like 6 to 10 foot. Like I got to get there. So, you know, then I'll pack a board bag and get over there. Otherwise, I'm kind of just going over there with like an open mind of like, hey, like we might get some swell. Sometimes it's shown it's going to be 10 foot and it drops down to like 3 feet. So it's just having an open mind, being like, okay, I have a board there. We're going to try and find some waves. If we don't, we're going to dive. You know, you can take out one of the fishing charters, you can take the boat out and go fishing. So there's so many different things to do there that, you know, as much as it is like a surf trip, it's also just like a vacation. Like, you know, like some of, like I've been on surf trips before and like, you know, or like you go down to Mexico or something and you're just like, I'm surfing 8 hours a day, all day. Like that's all I'm doing. But there's so much to do there and the waves are so unpredictable that you can't really rely on that. So yeah, I mean, it's a challenge because like you'll get there and you're like, I want to surf so bad and, you know, just might not line up. But the way some of those waves hit the reef and, you can get like a little 2 foot runner and still have a good time. Like I said, I like surfing alone, and so it's not as easy and predictable as say like a Huntington Beach where you look at surf line and you're like, oh, it's 3 to 4. Yeah, it's 3 to 4. Like, so yeah, there's definitely some challenges, but as long as you have an open mindset, you're gonna have a good time.
Are you mostly riding shortboards over there, or are you bringing longboards and stuff? Fun boards, I
Yeah,
guess.
I've never brought a longboard over. I don't like traveling with longboards. I honestly, yeah, I almost don't even surf longboards. Like I'm kind of one of those guys that I'm like, I have my equipment. I want to stay as like sharp as possible. And then I'll grab like a twin fin every once in a while. 'Cause honestly, after I surf like a twin fin, my shortboard surfing gets so much better. So
Yeah,
yeah, but
100%. I agree with you.
yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I haven't brought a log over there, but that's probably a good idea.
Be fun. Just take
Yeah,
those
it'd be
runners
super
all the
fun.
way in. What's your most memorable trip over there, or wave, or highlight, or anything?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of like what we talked about earlier. Like when you're on a boat and you're just cruising and you don't expect to see a wave and then you see a wave, it is like mind blowing. It's like, whoa, did I just see that? And it's like, okay, like let's get in. And then you watch like 3, like 4 foot waves like just sweep right under and like hit the reef. And like it's kind of hard to explain, but it's like a little A-frame that just like splits both ways. And so you're kind of looking at it like in disbelief almost. Like, oh, it's gotta be too shallow there. Like, oh, something has to, like, why is nobody surfing here? Why is this not a known spot? Like, because in California, like if a wave breaks somewhere, it is on surf line. Like it is on a map. It is like, even if it breaks once a year, like somebody know, like, so it's, I was kind of in disbelief. And that was the coolest part, was like to hop off, to have everything aligned, to like have nobody out, to be able to get these waves and to just like surprise yourself. Like, okay, you catch a wave and like you do two turns and you're like, oh, that was a sick wave. Then you get a wave with like 3, 4 turns, and then you're like taking it all the way into the beach, and you're like, wow, like there's so much potential here. Like,
In
and you would
disbelief.
have, yeah, like I would have never known that if we didn't take the boat around that corner, like at that time, or I didn't look in towards the beach, like whatever it might be. So that's just like the coolest thing, is just to find something and be like, oh, I found this and it worked out. Like that to me is just so cool.
What trips do you have planned for this year? Anything?
Yeah, so just, locally traveling for the QS events. I know it's not like a huge trip, but it's still like you gotta go somewhere new, like up north in Morro Bay and Pismo and stuff, and up in Santa Cruz. And so it's just kind of like those are still like those are locked in for sure. Just like little trips that I'm gonna do. And then I'm going to U.S. Virgin Islands in April. I think I'm going to try and do some of the Florida QS events as well, just to kind of go do something new, and maybe try and see if I can get some points and some good results over there. And then I don't know. I think I want to get down to like Barra de la Cruz
Yep,
sometime this
that
year.
wave's so fun.
Yeah, and then I'm talking about doing a El Salvador trip, I think right around the same time that the championship tour is going to be there. I think I'm going to try and head over there and yeah, connect with a couple people that I know, and because I've heard the waves there are just so good.
It's really fun in El Salvador, yeah. And it's gotten so safe the last couple of years. Like, surf community there is awesome. Everyone there is awesome. So it's a good place. What kind of goals and aspirations do you have for 2024?
Yeah, so for me it's just like just improving my surfing. Like I have just put so much focus into I think video is so important. Like I'm working with a coach right now and one of my best friends, Sergio, and we've been on the beach like every single day, twice a day, trying to get footage and just figure out like, okay, where can my surfing get better? And like sometimes footage is humbling. Like, like you're doing a turn or you just have to kind of look at your style and critique these different things. And then I've kind of found like the importance of the gym and like leg strength with, especially at my size, like I'm 6'1", 175 pounds. Like when it's 2 foot in Huntington, like I struggle, especially with like the boards that I'm riding, like they don't fit in the pocket as well. So having that leg strength, yeah, and my goals are just to do well on the QS. The champion or the challenger series is kind of the next step for me. Is like I got to do well regionally to get onto that challenger series and then really start to kind of make a name for myself in competitive surfing. So I just want to do well in events. I would love to win a qualifying series. I don't think it's out of reach for me. I just think it's getting used to the priority, right? Some guys spend 8 years on the qualifying series before they see any success. So it's just getting comfortable in these locations. And the first one coming up is in Huntington Beach. It's the Jack's Pro next month. So I'm really excited about that. I think I have so much knowledge of that wave with all the time I've been spending there. So I think I should do really well.
I love it, dude. Well, keep crushing it. That's epic. Hey, Jake, you have social media and stuff, right? You have Instagram and everything for people to follow you on.
Yeah. So my Instagram is Jake Isham underscore. That's my Instagram. And then I have a TikTok that is that exact same username. I just put like little edits on there sometimes. But yeah, my Instagram's my main one where you'll kind of see my edits, my photos, and you know, my up-to-date life, up to the minute sometimes.
Dude, well, it was a pleasure meeting you. Hopefully we get to surf sometime and we're stoked to have you on the Salt Life fam. Keep crushing it. Crush those QSs and keep traveling. I enjoy talking to you, man.
Yeah, thanks so much, Kieran. Let's get an update here soon and let's catch up soon and get some waves. I appreciate it.
For sure. Thanks for hopping on, Jake, and thanks everybody for listening in to today's podcast. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening in to Above and Below a Salt Life podcast. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Real Salt Life. If you've enjoyed this episode, rate and review us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast to help spread the word. And remember, stay salty.